Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, my name!
Hey, my name!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Tuesday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, World Series just a few hours away. You're fired up. If you're a Cub fan, you're fired up. If you're a Tribe fan, I just want to see the carnage, man. Two fan bases, respectively 7 and 11 decades in suffering. Who could outlast the other? So excited World Series thoughts tonight. We'll get caught up. A lot of college football, a lot of baseball to talk, and some Cub haters and Cub fans will appear on the show today. Mitch Sherman, he is not a Cub fan. 15 minutes away, college football thoughts with him. I'm sure Mitch will have a creative way in how the Cubs can lose. Kevin Suits, 10-11 Sports extraordinaire. He's a huge Cubs fan, so he has a dramatic way in which the Cubs can win. No doubt about that. And then Nebraska, Wisconsin, a lot to get to as we inch closer to Badgers and Huskers. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. Soon as Rick's done with BTN Live, he'll hop on the horn with us. And a familiar name to Nebraska fans, kind of the godfather of Wisconsin football, Barry Alvarez, with us at 5:25 tonight. And for extra measure to get your Badger fix and the Nebraska breakdown, former Packer and standout tackle with Wisconsin, part of the Badger Radio Network, Mark Tauscher. Remember that name? Played with Favre, played with Rodgers, had the gnarly beard. 11 years of Super Bowl champ, Walter Payton Man of the Year. So Mark Tauscher, he's with ESPN Milwaukee, 5:40. He'll be with us at 5:40. So loaded up today. Room for you this opening segment, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. You can also sound off on the HailVarsity.com message boards or premium area as well, HailVarsity.com. TJ, how you feeling? What are you more excited about, the fact that it is Tuesday and you're closer to Friday, or that it's World Series Game 1 tonight?
Probably neither of those. Probably that the NBA is starting tonight.
See,
and I'm ready to see the Golden State Warriors.
I knew you were going to throw that curve at
yeah.
me. I'm like, World Series, you have long-suffering fan bases. And TJ's like, yeah, wake me when it's over. Love you. Let's talk NBA, because there's only 81 more games to white-knuckle through for Golden State.
Nah, I mean, I'll have the World Series on the side TV, but I'll have the Cavs and the Warriors on the main one.
So are you doing beluga caviar tonight, big timer? You just said, well, I'll have it on the side TV.
Yeah. Sounds like I'm living in luxury, but it's complete opposite.
No,
but
it's all right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let's get into this football thought for a moment with Nebraska. And as a Nebraska fan, where are your emotions at? What's your mindset with right now? We can get further into what we think the team psyche is going to be a little later in the week, because that's really what matters, the coaches and players, from a execution and results standpoint. But as a Nebraska fan, are you like, oh, yes, it's time to kind of step up and I feel good they're going to win? Or are you like, oh, no, dear God, it's another big stage? And it's a pessimistic mindset because it's not been great on a big stage for you or the team. Now, I know the past is the past, but as a Nebraska fan, man, it's okay to still be unable or nervous about shaking some of those results. I mean, the whole respect topic's been the elephant in the room, and he's not a quiet elephant the last 3 weeks. And the last few times on a stage, now, a year ago against Michigan State was awesome. ABC night game, you knocked out a playoff team. That was impressive. But it wasn't as wasn't surprising because of how Nebraska was right there a lot of times. What you wonder right now, though, is Nebraska ready to take that step? And are they ready to kind of get that and achieve that validation? And are you excited about it as a Nebraska fan? I think you're excited because it's a big game and you've kind of had these sleepers and opponents that you really don't care about. And I get that. Not every game's a big game. Now it is to players and coaches, or it's got to be mantra'd that way. But as a fan, you've been waiting all year to find out what your team is, and this is the next checkpoint to give you that definition. So are you excited as a Nebraska fan because you feel good about your team Tuesday, or are you nervous? Are you weary because it is Madison, it's a night game, and you're not feeling great because Nebraska has not went out and dominated really anybody? Now, the flip side to that is they've went out and won, and they've won impressively in the quarter that matters most, the fourth quarter. But those spotlight games, it's just different because it's been so bad, and it's been specifically bad against Wisconsin. So if I'm pegging it right now, I think the Nebraska fan base, I won't even say cautiously optimistic, which is a great term. I think it's just get there, don't get blown out. Have a good showing.
Yeah.
I think
that's half the battle.
No, it is, like, but
don't
that's
get blown out.
But that's kind of the hope, not the expectation. Mm-hmm. It used to be, back in my day, it used to be just go get it done, go win. You're the best team. Now it's just don't embarrass us, because mm-hmm. there's that attachment. That's the representative of you. This is your team. This is your state. And if you go out there and get annihilated, it makes us look bad. And kind of selfish attitude, but it is what it is. And if you're selling the stadium out for 50-plus years, you can believe and say what you want. You've been supportive, to say the least. But right now, I think if I'm putting money down, you can tell me if I'm wrong, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Your mindset is just go play a good game and don't get embarrassed. It's not even moral victory card. It's just, listen, this team is, you're proud of them. You hope they play well, but you're also a smart football fan, and they've not dominated anybody of substance real often. They've done it in a quarter. They've not done it for a game. So your thought is they aren't going to go in this game. And I think the players feel differently. They've got a chip on their shoulder about it. But your mindset is just go play a good game, hang in there, take this next step of almost doing it on the road. Because it's been, I mean, you want to talk about a top 11 win? I mean, the last time Nebraska's had a win this caliber, or a team that's in this class, I mean, Wisconsin's good, really good. No matter how they finish, if they finish with three or four losses, or say they run the table and just finish with two losses, Wisconsin, pound for pound, is a legit top 15, top 10 fringe squad. I mean, they have played some monster opponents really close, and they've played some monster opponents at home and on the road and on a neutral side and won. Now, predicting their future, they'll get Michigan or Ohio State or maybe Penn State, right, in the Big Ten championship game. That can go either way. And then if they don't get a New Year's Day 6 Rose Bowl-type opponent, then they'll end up at a Capital One hooking up with an SEC team. And right now, the way they look defensively, you don't want to jack with them. They're that good. They're that game-changing. So the Nebraska mindset is, knowing all of that, it is absolutely just go play well and hang in there. Because it's going to come down to Iowa or Wisconsin, who you got to split with. And more so, the win against Wisconsin is going to be your head-to-head back pocket. You'll need that because I think your West winner is going to be 7-2. A lot of chances for Iowa to step and slip up. chances for Nebraska to slip up. And Wisconsin isn't out of the woods either, okay? They still have rivalry game with Minnesota. I know Minnesota's looked bad recently, but they still have a ball game at Northwestern. They don't do well there. Russ is with us here on Hail Varsity Radio as Russ has been on hold. Russ, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I like a lot of fans. I mean, I'm a diehard Husker fan, and I think since it's Tuesday, we're still in that mindset of, you know, let's just go there, let's play a good game, let's be respectable, let's gradually work our way back to, you know, national prominence. But then again, Saturday morning, you wake up, the game's at 6 o'clock, all of a sudden your blood pressure's up, and all of a sudden the game's got bigger meaning at that point. You know, I honestly feel like if the guys go and play as well as we can play, mm-hmm. and we haven't put it together yet, I think we're going to be damn tough to get, to, you know, for Wisconsin to take us. But, you know, I just want to see the guys come out and play as well as they can play and just, you know, be there at halftime. Be in this thing at halftime. Let's make some adjustments and let's see what happens. You know, like you said in the past, and we know that's with the different coaching staff, you know, get in a game like this and it just seems like it's a big snowball going downhill and it's getting worse. So I think right now, just, you know, cautiously optimistic, but I think as the days get closer,
that optimism is going to turn into a demand, isn't it?
Yeah, and it will, and it does. I always tell myself that, you know, it's another game, but it is a big game because things have been happening in front of us. I mean, we started out, you know, ranked
37th
beginning of the season. Now I find ourselves at 6, and how huge would it be Saturday night when that game's over for Nebraska to win and play well? Now all of a sudden you're talking about a whole other, you know, things and you know, national respectability that we've been looking for what, 15 years?
They've been looking for it for 15 years, Russ. Appreciate the phone call and your thoughts, and you're right on, man. You're right on. Tuesday, you're like, just go play well, represent. Saturday morning, it's going to be, we got this. Nebraska is going to win. You're going to shift. You're going to change. You're going to get your hopes up. And you know what? I got a gut feeling, and we'll have our predictions later in the week. This is the year that Lucy doesn't pull the football on Charlie Brown. I love the team's confidence. I love the team's grittiness. They want this. They've been pointing towards it. They've stayed focused. And you've got a team that absolutely believes in themselves and believes that they get it to the fourth quarter, they own it. Flip it around, Wisconsin has proven themselves a ton. They're an awesome football team. You wrote Wisconsin off. TJ and I did too, based on their schedule. Mm-hmm. What do we say? August? By the time Nebraska rolls into Madtown, maybe Wisconsin's 500. You want to talk about ultimate disrespect? Mm-hmm. Not only have they won, but they've pushed your two college football playoff representatives to the brink, mm-hmm. overtime in their place, and then on the road in Harbaughville. So they've got a lot to say as well, and they have so much respect because of their schedule, how they've played, who they've beaten, and kind of the personnel they've done it with. They've also been extremely injured, and they've won despite that. So, no, I mean, you have two teams right here that, and Wisconsin's been on that stage. They've had some big wins, but it's been a while since they've been top five, top 10 elite. I'm talking Russell Wilson. So it's a good opportunity for them.
Well, having watched them now for 6 years, being in the Big Ten closer, Wisconsin, have you felt like the talent discrepancy is that much different than ours?
They're the same teams. The difference being is Wisconsin has had a Melvin Gordon, a Russell Wilson.
For a year.
And they've had a they've had a unit defensively that just mauls people.
Yeah, so that's what gives me pause, is there's not that great of a talent level disparity. The offense is usually pretty average, obviously an excellent running game, but usually just an average quarterback besides Russell Wilson.
They have a guy that you're not supposed to screw it up.
Yet you lose 70-31, and then you have a guy run for over 400 yards against you. So it's just like, what's going on? So that kind of makes you think, like, oh, no, for sure.
It's between the years, bro. It's between the years. And I think you've got a different, a much healthier outlook and mental health when it comes to not only this game against Wisconsin, but this team's confidence. And you have this from Riley. And Monday morning, you're going to be spitting fire if they get destroyed. But right now, it's just been positive reinforcement, and not to psychobabble to death here, but he's just always, at least publicly, said the things he just loves about this team. And he's acknowledged the warts this team has. But he is, and you got to do it, man. It's the message you're sending to your kids when you're up front in front of the microphone. It's, well, this fourth quarter's been good. They've fought and found ways to win, and they have faith. Now, this is a giant leap, but this is what I get reminded of when I see Nebraska just kind of gut out wins against teams that you think are garbage or average. 2002 Ohio State did this same thing. Who the hell is their quarterback? Good offensive line, Maurice Claret, and then their defense was special. I mean, they were winning games at the buzzer against not a great Purdue, I mean, a bold Purdue team, but you get what I'm saying. They won ugly and unimpressively until they beat Miami. Mitch Sherman coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Barry Alvarez, 1 hour away on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Safe driving, demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involve buzz while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. All things college football. And I'm sure a new Cleveland Indian fan, Mitch Sherman, with us on Hail Varsity of ESPN, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, how we doing?
Whew, I don't know that we can say that.
Okay, I was hoping I was correct in the assumption your dislike for the Cubs is so great that you'll cheer for Cleveland. But you're a Royals guy, so that's a division foe, and right. I see you working here. So who are you going for?
That would be like cheering for the White Sox, which could never, ever happen. Cleveland, I suppose I can root for Cleveland. That's too strong. That's too strong of a way to put it. Well, clearly I'm just cheering for the Cubs to lose, and if that means that Cleveland wins, then I guess that's the fallout that I'm going to have to accept. But I'm just going to revel in the fact that my Royals played a large role in getting the Cubs sent on the road for the first two games of this World Series.
There you go. There's a way to twist it.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, hey, you guys got Barry Alvarez on today, so I think that's worthy of touting the entire program. I heard you on the intro there saying he's an hour away. So that's if there's ever a week to just advertise all day that Barry Alvarez is coming on your show, this is the week to do it with we know what's going on Saturday, and then Barry is still on the committee, right? He's picking the playoff teams this year. So that's Tuesday. What a great time to get him on.
No, he's awesome, and he's good with us. We could ask more of him, but he is so cool about coming on Nebraska Wisconsin week. So we appreciate that. What do you think about Nebraska Wisconsin this week? What's your gut tell you on Tuesday? And I feel like the Nebraska fan base is excited about the game, but there's this caution because of what's happened in Madison and against Wisconsin, frankly, the last few outings. The team and the coaching staff aren't paying attention to it, but it's on the minds of Nebraska fans.
Yeah, a lot of heartbreak and a lot of blowout losses, I guess. I think the thing that people need to remember is that there's a different dynamic in this game, that Wisconsin's a defensive-oriented team, not likely to really blow anyone out. And I think I know that Russell Wilson is not playing for the Badgers this weekend, and neither is Melvin Gordon. And those were big-time, Heisman-contending caliber talents that torched the Huskers offensively in Nebraska's last two trips to Madison. And unless Alex Hornibrook is ready to have his day on the night on the big stage, then I don't think that's going to happen yet. I think he's still a freshman, and I think Nebraska can do some things defensively to make his life a little difficult. I realize this kid's been through an Ohio State game, and he's now been through an Iowa game, at least part of it. So it's not going to be like his first time in a big environment, but the strength of this Nebraska team right now is its defense, and dare I say it's secondary. My gut tells me that there's a door open for Nebraska to make some plays on defense against the freshman quarterback. And it also tells me that Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf on the offensive side are going to get more imaginative than what we have seen the last couple of weeks against Indiana and Purdue. It's not that they held things back, but I think there's an understanding in the game plan going into this one that they have to get more creative. You can't just put your quarterback in a spot to try to pick apart that defense, which will be very difficult to do, and hand it off to Terrell Newby and say, all right, go get your yards. It didn't really work against Purdue much, and it will work even less against the Badgers on the road. So I look to see receivers, the strength of Nebraska's offense with Jordan Westerkamp back, getting the ball in lots of different ways this week than what we've seen recently.
Mitch, in the past matchups between Nebraska and Wisconsin, have you felt like the talent discrepancy has been that big that Nebraska should be losing 70-31 or be giving up 400 yards to one player in a game?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I feel like these teams have been generally even in talent since Nebraska came into the Big Ten. TJ, that's the crazy thing about the way some of these games have gone. I mean, the year that Nebraska lost big in Indianapolis, that was a rematch of a game that was close, that Nebraska won in Lincoln. So clearly, it wasn't so much a talent thing as it was the snowball effect. And that was we're talking about the last era of, the Bo Pelini coached Nebraska teams. In all three of those games that were lopsided Wisconsin wins. And I think that team had a different kind of mentality. There were positives and negatives to the way that they were coached to play. One of the negatives was I think they were susceptible to losing by big scores, by big margins. When things went bad, they tended to snowball on that team, and it happened three times against Wisconsin. So I don't think that is necessarily the tendency of a Mike Riley coach team. We've been through 13 games last year and 7 this year, so we're 20 games in. It's a good measuring stick, and they haven't been well. I mean, take the Purdue game out of it last year, and I think that's a completely different situation because you were playing with a backup quarterback who threw a bunch of interceptions. You take that one out of the mix, and this team has yes, it's lost some games, but they've all been close losses.
Mitch Sherman is with us, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, a busy weekend of college football. Your thoughts on Washington as they head to Utah and then Oklahoma State hosting the Fighting Holgersons and unbeaten and, dare I say, defensive-minded West Virginia. Your thoughts on both of those?
Yeah, I'll start in the Big 12. And West Virginia is defensive-minded. The last 2 weeks against TCU and Texas Tech, to hold those two teams to a combined 27 points is, that's impressive for any team. If you're in the Big 12 and you do that, that's earth-shattering almost. So to me, and I'll tell you at the end of this call when we talk about who I think the five best teams in the country are, What West Virginia has done the last 2 weeks is right up there on par with just about anybody. I mean, not Alabama, maybe not Michigan, but the way that they have dominated those games against teams that have very good offense. I mean, TCU and Texas Tech don't play much defense, but they can score points, and they do score points on just about anybody. So I'm impressed with West Virginia, and I think this week at Oklahoma State is in a single game setting West Virginia's most difficult challenge in the rest of the season. Not to say that if they get past this game, I expect West Virginia to go undefeated, because there's Oklahoma, there's Baylor, there's Texas, there's a trip to Iowa State. Somewhere along that line, I think they're going to slip up, even if they're undefeated going into that thing. But just in a one-game situation on the road in Stillwater, it's a dangerous matchup for Dana Holgorsen, who was the Oklahoma State offensive coordinator the last time that Nebraska played in Stillwater. But a little trivia there: it was a 51-41, I believe.
Shootout.
Taylor Martinez led, yep. Husker win. Yeah, and that was an 11-win Oklahoma State team. So I like the Cowboys in this one, and I think it's going to be a good game. And you asked about the Pac-12 too. Probably a similar situation with Washington, where Utah, this is one of the scariest games left for Washington on its road to try to finish unbeaten in the regular season and take that perfect record into the Pac-12 title game. So Utah, well balanced. I mean, they do things offensively and defensively, and has. I talked to Kyle Whittingham a few weeks ago for a story I was writing about teams that had made the full transition to their new homes in these conferences that they switched to in the last round of realignment back in 2011 and 12. And he feels like Utah, and I feel like it too, watching Utah this year, they have fully arrived as a Pac-12 contender. And I think we're seeing it on the field this season.
Mitch's top four plus one. Here we go.
Yeah, I teased it for you. So Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Washington. I suppose I'd probably say Washington 3, Clemson 4. And I've got West Virginia at 5 knocking on the door this week. I know they're 10th in the AP poll, but I think, you know, you take the name off the front of the jersey and say who have been the best teams in October, and at least the last couple of weeks. You know, there's Alabama, there's Michigan, and I think there's West Virginia. Mm-hmm. So they're my fifth team, and then you've got Baylor and Nebraska, and those two group of five teams, Boise and Central Michigan. So that's it for the undefeated. We're getting down to a fairly small number.
Mitch, about 90 seconds here. I want to go one more thought on Nebraska, Wisconsin. What type of game does Tommy Armstrong need to have Saturday?
I think he needs to win the game for Nebraska. It's something that he hasn't been able to do in these kinds of games on the road against a top 10 team. It would be a first for him. But, that's if you're Nebraska, I think that's a good situation to be in. You've got a senior quarterback. Wisconsin's got a freshman. It's a hostile environment. Tommy knows what to expect. He's been there. He's had, some failures, some periods of success in these type of situations, but not enough sustained success in these moments to be able to draw on the experience on Saturday. I think that this is the time for him to write a new chapter in his Husker legacy, not just this week, but extending into next week at the Horseshoe. You know, how Tommy Armstrong is remembered as a Nebraska quarterback is in large part cemented because of the numbers that he's put up and what he has helped lead Nebraska through. But, a big part of his legacy, I also think, comes down to how Nebraska finishes this season. Mm-hmm. And this two-week stretch is needless to say, huge in writing that chapter.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, we'll run you down next week. Thanks for your time, as always. Love chatting with you.
Good talking to you guys. Go Tribe.
There we go. I told you he'd do it. All right, good stuff from Mitch Sherman. Ted Elevens, Kevin Suits. We'll talk Huskers Badgers next on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man. You are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Bird back tomorrow and Thursday. Barry Alvarez less than 1 hour away on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning somewhere in the city of Lincoln wearing his Hector Villanueva jersey. Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports. Am I right? Did you go the Hector card today?
Schmidt, you know I have a rule. Grown men don't wear jerseys.
Listen, I agree 1,000% with you.
But I wore one today.
But there's 11 decades of angst.
I broke my own rule.
Yeah, you
so
got to.
Certain events call for, you know, just throw everything out the window, and this is one of them.
It is one of those days.
It's been a long time coming for us long-suffering Cubs fans. But the thing is, here's my story about my jersey. It's a no-name jersey.
What?
I'm one of those uncommitted, with all the turnover the Cubs have had over the past, 10 decades. Just don't put a name on it. If it's Aramis Ramirez, he's traded.
I know.
If it's, Derek Lee, he retires. Yeah, there's just always something go with that team. And as much as I wanted to commit to, like, a Chris Bryant just for the
I would have gone Jerome Walton.
You figure if you buy the jersey, something bad's going to happen. So I just went with no number, no name.
Hey, Kevin, I saw this headline. I think it was an article on SI, and you're a diehard Cubs fan, so I want to get your thoughts on it. They said they wanted Steve Bartman to throw out the opening pitch for Game 3, Cubs home opener in the World Series. To me, that just seems like a bad idea because even if the Cubs are up 2-0 or 1-1 and things go wrong, who's the blame going to go on?
Poor guy, right?
I mean, does that not sound like a bad idea?
You know, baseball is a game of, like, superstitions and funny nuances. No, that's not a good idea for anybody, including Steve Bartman. So I'm with you, TJ. Like, he becomes the scapegoat. It's almost like you're building in your own curse for this year if it were to go bad. Mm-hmm. I know that there might be good intentions behind it, but what if this doesn't play out the way Cubs fans want it to go?
That would not shock me. Okay, the Cubs win the series because, and then follow it with why Nebraska wins in Madison.
The Cubs win the series because they are the best team in baseball, period. Unquestioned.
Okay.
The Nebraska Cornhuskers win in Madison because they're due for a big-time signature win. I know that has nothing to do with specifics of a football game, but I just feel like the time is right.
You know what? The signature road win against number 10, doesn't it feel like it? Doesn't it feel like the Cubs can go to the series and the Tribe can go to the series? Then can't Nebraska make that next step, that jump? And, I mean, Columbus is going to be Columbus, but you have Wisconsin who doesn't – I'm totally respectful of Wisconsin and their defense, and they do just enough offensively to help the defense. But this is completely winnable, despite the spread fluctuating from 6.5 to 9.5 to now 8.5, don't you think?
I was shocked when I saw the opening line being a touchdown spread. Like, that just stuns me. I know that Nebraska still doesn't quite have the big win to say, yeah, we're as good as our record says, but still, I just think that in a way is a little bit slap in the face. Here's what I think is going to happen on Saturday. I think Nebraska is going to play well. I think Jordan Westerkamp is going to help them move the ball better than they had the last couple of weeks. I think the defense can cause a lot of fits for a freshman quarterback in Hornibrook, and it's going to come down to a play at the end. I really feel like it's going to be a four-quarter game. And honestly, there's a part of me that says Drew Brown is going to kick a game-winning field goal in the same state which Sam Fultz was killed this summer. What a script that would be, right?
Well, I think
I just think that might happen.
I think Brown's going to have a major impact. I don't disagree with you on that. Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. Suits, you've got about 3 minutes playoff time for your flag football squad. And just like Coach Langsdorf's been busy with creative play calling, I'm sure you've been busy for tonight's showdown. Tell me who you have and what you're feeling. How you feeling?
Well, playoff game is against the Browns. This is a team that
is this really a playoff game? Come on now. You're against the Browns. Can it be a playoff game?
Yeah. We respect every opponent the same. This is me with my coaching hat on, right? No, we played well against them, and I just hope our boys can go out and have fun. And you know, we've our playbook is so thick because we've been adding all these crazy things that have come to my mind, and some of the things that the players have drawn up for us this year, which has just been a ton of fun. But at the end of it, I mean, we started with like 10 plays. Even less than that, because half the plays are, here's the play left, here's the play right, let's flip it. But now we've got all this crazy stuff in there, and, you know, I think of the plays that we have in, I'd say maybe two-thirds, the ball changes hands at least twice. Some of them were throwing the ball back across. I mean, really, are we just going to just let this thing all hang out tonight, or do we just say, let's run a fullback dive?
Can I go wrong with the fullback, man?
Well, I mean, get the fastest kid running straight. See what happens.
Absolutely. Kevin Suits, 10-11 Sports, big playoff game tonight for his kids, and it's against the Browns. So are you guys south or north for flag football tonight?
We're south.
Okay. Gotcha. That location. Okay. Good enough.
We're under the lights.
It can't beat it.
The Cubs game, so DDRing, don't tell me any updates, even though I know that's going to be impossible. There's going to be dads probably. I bet my assistant coach probably even has it on his phone watching. It's like, hey, coaches aren't allowed on the field for this game, so we've actually got to really lock in. And, you know, for defense, we're signaling in plays as in a blitz.
The Fighting Cavett Cardinals had the boards with four pictures last week.
That's a good touch.
And one of them had Harry Carey. So
nice.
Not my idea.
We don't have wristbands or anything like that. We're just going to have we'll have the kids line up next to me, and I'll just I'll show them the card. They've got to run it in. And watching these boys practice their own huddle without me in it was so fun the other day, because they all put their arms around each other's shoulders and squeeze each other's necks together, you know, and their heads are clanking against one another. And one of them has to take out his mouthpiece, say the play to everybody else. So, you know, I might tell them, like, run left, and it might come out past middle. Who knows?
That'll work. Okay, 30 seconds. Cubs in how many? Nebraska wins. Give me the score.
Cubs in 5. Nebraska wins. I said it's a Drew Brown field goal, so I'm going to go 24-21.
There you have it. If you're riding
at the horn.
At the horn, the winner by Brown. I love that if you're a Nebraska fan. Suitsy, best of luck to you, man. Thanks for jumping on. We'll catch up with you next week as we'll talk Ohio State then. And best of luck to you and your Cub friends.
All right. Thank you so much, guys.
Take care. Kevin Suits with us, 10-11 Sports on Hail Varsity Radio. Barry Alvarez is 35 minutes away. As soon as he's off camera, Big Ten Buffet time. Rick Pizzo is coming up shortly after 5 o'clock. I'm excited about that. Some sound from our friend Mike Leach, our favorite pirate, on picking captains. That wasn't bad. He's not a Cubs fan. We'll tell you that info, too. Hail Varsity continues.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
10 minutes away, Rick Pizzo coming up. Big Ten Network, Big Ten Buffet. 30 minutes away, Barry Alvarez. Husker great and legendary coach, College Football Hall of Fame, his Badgers against his Huskers. Want to remind you about Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick. Rick's a big-time Nebraska guy, and Rick can also hook you up with a one-carat diamond for her, and it's select one-carat diamonds. I told you about this. I want you to go see one and then figure out what you want to do and make her smile. Don't shortchange that sweetheart. Nebraska's 7-0, a chance to take down a top 10 team. Cubs are in the World Series. Time for you to make that move for her. Stars are aligning, is what I'm telling you. One carat diamonds, Select 1 carat diamonds for just $100 a month. Limited time offer with approved credit. You can log on, SauterHeyman.com, or go see Rick, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Isle. I don't care how you pick out that 1 carat diamond. Coach Leach has some wisdom when it comes to picking out a team captain. This is beautiful. Pirate will be with us next week. But this was too good. He's not a Cubs fan. We'll get into that in a moment. First the good before we get to the bad.
You know, all the guy really does is a coin toss. And then I decided, you know, one of the most screwed up things about this country is the fact that in order to do anything, in order to cross the street, we always have to have a committee, you know, and I said, you know, and so I figured, well, screw the committee. We really only need one guy. And now he's got to be smart enough to call either heads or tails. That's it. So then I thought about, well, should I get the biggest guy on the team or the littlest guy on the team? And then I thought, well, Jamal Morrow was on The Price is Right and was fairly lucky and went to the final round and almost won the sucker. And so I figured, well, Jamal Morrow's a lucky guy. plus, he's got pretty good energy to him and stuff like that. So why not Jamal Morrow? And so then Jamal Morrow goes out and did have an amazing knack for winning the toss. And then, I mean, wins it almost all the time. I mean, literally. I'm serious about this. I don't know what his record is, but it's something incredible.
That was an incredible explanation of going with who's a captain. The guy who's
got the best luck.
Almost won on The Price is Right. And he's energetic. Not the biggest guy, the littlest guy. Now, Coach Leach said that there's too many Cub fans also at his press conference. He asked who he's cheering for. He's like, it's me and the city of Cleveland, paraphrasing, because there's too many Cub fans. And it's dubious if you say my Cubbies. They're not your Cubbies. Because you're apparently someone who wears designer jeans, has a BMW, yeah, and are a yuppie.
Oh, man. He was great yesterday.
Every time as a kid, though, we'd either be on the third baseline or we'd be in the bleachers. I don't want to exaggerate myself like I'm some Cub guy. But I ran into dudes that were just normal folks. I never ran into yuppie Cub fan. I didn't. I never did. Always a dude who had a sweatshirt on, kind of a hooded sweatshirt or maybe kind of a flannel look, crushing an old style. Wasn't a yuppie. I had some guy sitting next to us, no front teeth, but man, could he hold his cigar in. Rick Pizzo, lifelong Cub fan. Next, talk Cubs and yes, get into Nebraska, Wisconsin on Hail Varsity Radio.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, by day!
Hey, by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We gain big
beef! We gain big beef!
Boom, beef, beef!
Boom, beef, beef!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. And it is that time for Big Ten Buffet with Rick Pizzo at BTN Rick Pizzo on Twitter. And you catch him on BTN Live and Big Ten and Beyond. And he's just getting through the college football season like the rest of us. Big matchup this weekend, Rick, Nebraska, Wisconsin. How you doing?
Things are going great, man. It seems like every weekend we say that about Wisconsin. Their schedule has just been absolutely brutal. And Nebraska's kind of the other way. They have not played really stiff competition yet. I think this is the weekend when people stop wondering and get a lot more answers, I think, about exactly what this Husker team is and maybe what they're not.
You've seen a lot of Big Ten football. You've covered the league for a long time. Nebraska is not the first Big Ten team to play up or down to their schedule or competition. And you look at Purdue, Indiana's kind of taken a bit of a slide since Nebraska played them. Oregon's not what you thought they'd be. And then Northwestern's getting hot. So where do you come out on Nebraska heading into this game? Do you think it'll be a pretty tight, well-played, good ball game? Or do you think it'll be one of those win-ugly type games for either team?
Well, I think Nebraska would not care. An ugly win at Camp Randall is beautiful, regardless of the final score. I just think that Nebraska has taken some undue criticism, and I say that understanding why they're being criticized. I understand that their schedule has certainly not been a murderer's row, but you play who is in front of you, and I find it really hard to look back and say, well, Oregon's not very good. They're not very good now, and maybe they weren't that good when Nebraska beat them, but they were a different team. Same thing can be said for Northwestern, and I understand that that's the flip side of that coin, but when you boil down to it, they, meaning Nebraska, have done all the things this year that they did not do a year ago to win games. I mean, Tommy Armstrong has made some questionable decisions, but he's gotten away with them, and he's made fewer questionable decisions. The defense has been taking the ball away, while the offense hasn't been giving it away as much, and they've been a great second half team. So at the end of last year, those were the three questions they had to answer. In my mind, so far they've answered them. Now the questions just get a little bit more difficult with the competition.
Yeah, competition jumps up. Big Ten Buffet, Rick Pizzo with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, what do you like about Nebraska heading into the Wisconsin game? I know we've hit on turnovers. I know we hit on Tommy. But from a matchup standpoint, where can Nebraska maybe do some damage Saturday night?
Well, I think Wisconsin's run defense has been outstanding. I mean, nothing short of one of the best in the country all year. But you just wonder over and over again how long they can do it when you face this gauntlet and you continue to have injuries. So they made do without Vince Beagle for a while. They lost a couple of games, but they handled themselves fairly well because of the way that Jack Sitchi came up and played. He was their leading tackler with 60 tackles. Now he's out for the year, tore his pec in the win this past week for Wisconsin over Iowa. So you just wonder how many times can you plug and play? And if Nebraska is able to stay committed to the run, like they did the previous 2 weeks with Terrell Newby, who went back-to-back over 100 yards, and then last week you saw that run game go back and forth a little bit, you need to commit to it, whether it's Newby, whether it's Armstrong, whether Ezigbo is healthy enough on 100% and can contribute. All those guys need to be big factors in the run game, because then and only then do you soften up Nebraska, or I should say soften up Wisconsin enough for Nebraska to go to that pass game, especially with some guys clearly not back to 100% at the wide receiver and tight end positions.
No, Western Camp will be back, but it's his first game back. Let's talk Nebraska offensive line, and it's been an ongoing issue, and sometimes Nebraska's run game's been okay. We're talking fourth quarter where they've really turned it on. But there's been lapses or disappearances in any sort of consistency, second and third quarters a lot of times. Now, the defense has stepped up for Nebraska, but on the offensive line, they're wounded, they're banged up. And is this the type of ball game that if Nebraska runs it as poorly as they did against Purdue, can Nebraska turn to those wideouts to make some one-on-one plays against this Badger secondary?
I think it's really tough because the Badger secondary is A, pretty good, and what that does is if there's not a lot of threat downfield because you're not able to run the football and open it up, then they can play man-to-man coverage, and what they're going to do then is send linebackers and maybe the occasional safety after Tommy and not allow him time. So I really think the run has to open up the pass. I just don't think in this game you can do it the other way around, not the way that this Wisconsin defense is built. And I know that that almost sounds counterintuitive because they're so good against the run, but they're pretty darn good against the pass too. And if you let them pin their ears back and get after Tommy Armstrong because you don't have the threat of the run game, I don't think there's any chance to move the ball downfield through the air.
Flip it around. Let's talk Nebraska defense against the Wisconsin offense, and that's been a kind of hit or miss area for the Badgers. I mean, they ran it, to a lot of people's surprise, very well against Ohio State, and you've had kind of a rotating quarterback set up. Fumagalli's big time at tight end. Clement's healthy. Where does Nebraska need to thrive defensively Saturday against the Badger O?
Well, they need to stop Corey Clement, who somehow has found the fountain of youth here as he goes through his last campaign. I mean, he came into the year last year replacing Melvin Gordon, thought he could have a huge year, was injured, had suspension, some controversy, comes into this year. He's still suffering through injuries the beginning of the year and then inconsistency, and then boom. Last 2 weeks, Ohio State and Iowa, two typically stout run defenses. He's gone for about 300 yards. So that absolutely needs to be priority number one, because much like that Wisconsin defense, If the Nebraska D can quiet Clement and make Alex Hornibrook beat you, you're in really good shape. Hornibrook's been great. He's been a really good young quarterback, but he is the guy that you would rather put on spot and say, you beat us. Corey Clement's not going to beat us. The offensive line is not going to beat us. If Alex Hornibrook throws for 250 and four touchdowns, so be it. We lose up in Madison. We're never going to win that game, but don't let Corey Clement be the guy to beat you.
Why do you think Nebraska's struggled every time they've gone to Madison? The teams, at least on paper and ranking-wise, had been similar. The last three meetings, really, I mean, you look at the opener in 2011, Russell Wilson and company, really good team that was a top 10 matchup, blowout. You look at 2012, Big Ten championship game, major blowout. And then 2 years ago, I mean, Nebraska was up two scores, and then Melvin goes 408. Why is Nebraska lost and lost in embarrassing fashion to Wisconsin, in your opinion?
Well, I got to tell you, I think the championship game and the Melvin Gordon game simply came down to the fact that those Wisconsin teams were really, really talented. I mean, Melvin Gordon obviously showed you what he could do, and I think it got away from them. I don't think that, you know, Bo Pelini was a great coach in those situations where the game started to go away from them in terms of finding a way to reel it back in. I think Mike Riley is probably more fit to that in terms of personality-wise, not letting things get completely out of hand. I mean, even when you look at last year and all the trials and tribulations they went through, at no point were they getting blown out of the building. They were just losing tight games in bad spots. So there have been some standalones to that, and I think that up at Camp Randall, it's a really tough place to play. I mean, look at what they've done to Ohio State. They nearly beat them a couple of weeks ago, you know, back in 2012 when Ohio State was number one. They basically ran them out of the building. It is a really difficult place to play, and not just because of the crowd, but because the Wisconsin team gets really juiced up and plays its best football up there. All that being said, I believe that Nebraska can win this game. I've talked with a ton of people who think they have absolutely no chance in this game. I just don't buy into that.
Rick, let's talk a little Big Ten right now as we spend a lot of time Nebraska, Wisconsin, turn it to Ohio State. And what happened in Happy Valley Saturday? I never thought I'd see an Urban Meyer team blow a two-touchdown lead. Pick the location. I mean, I was flabbergasted that they lost, and I was wowed how Penn State found a way to win, specifically on special teams.
Yeah, it was special teams. I mean, that's all it was. If you go ahead and look at the numbers, I mean, Ohio State outgained them. It wasn't even close in time of possession. They had better third and fourth down conversion numbers. I mean, if you just looked at the stats and said who won this game, Ohio State wins by 14, 17 points. But that's not the way that it happened. Penn State found the right time to make the biggest plays. The touchdown right before half gave them momentum. Obviously, a blocked punt, a blocked field goal for the game winner. So it's all about making plays, and Penn State found a way to make plays. The good thing here, Chris, for Ohio State is that they still have a very good chance to get back to the college football playoff. If they win out, as long as something crazy doesn't happen, like Penn State also wins out and Michigan has two losses and Ohio State loses the tiebreaker to Penn State, which is a possible scenario, as long as something crazy doesn't happen like that, in all likelihood, if Ohio State wins out, including beating Michigan, including a win in the Big Ten championship game, they're still going to the college football playoff.
That's kind of the narrative, isn't it? I mean, Ohio State's okay just because of who they'll have a shot at beating. I mean, Nebraska could still be in the top 10 if they take care of business against Wisconsin. They go to the Shoe next week. Wisconsin's a quality win. They've won at Oklahoma, and you have Michigan. Anybody have a chance to derail Michigan? I know they're in Spartyville this weekend.
Yeah, there's not a ton on that schedule left. I mean, when you look at the Iowa game, I guess maybe that concerns you just a little bit because you know that Iowa will pin its season on that game. I mean, Iowa played very well against Wisconsin. They came up short, but there comes a point in the season where every team has to say, okay, we understand that we are no longer playing for our division title. We understand that we are no longer playing for a spot in the college football playoff. What's the best thing that we can do? Well, we can play the role of spoiler. We can beat a team that basically no one gives us a chance to beat. They have Michigan at home at night in the middle of November. So if you take care of business in that game, you never know what might happen. I mean, the scary thing for me, if I'm Ohio State, the scary thing for me is not looking ahead to that Michigan game. It's looking at what could potentially happen with Penn State. Penn State will be favored in their remaining five games, Chris. If they win those five games, that's a big if. But if they win, they're 8-1. They win a head-to-head against Ohio State. So that means that if Michigan were to win out and go into that game, then Ohio State's in a really tough spot, because even if you win that game, it's going to come down to the three-way comparison, who goes in. If you lose that game, you know you're out. And if you're head-to-head against Penn State, if Michigan drops a game along the way, you lose that head-to-head. So you actually have to root for Michigan to win out until you play them on the 26th of November.
Think what you just said. You have to root for Michigan if you're Ohio State.
You do. You have to absolutely, for more reasons than one, you have to root for them to be undefeated when you play them at home on the 26th of November.
Wow. Your emotions tonight and moving forward as a lifelong Cubs fan. Let's switch to baseball before we get you out of here.
Yeah, it's tonight is just an absolutely unbelievable moment for this entire city. I mean, we were in the office about 3 miles from Wrigley when they clinched on Saturday night, and we could literally hear the echoes, the cheers, and the fireworks at our office three miles away. And it didn't stop until Sunday. I mean, it has resonated all the way through. It is hysterical that my wife has to do laundry every other day because my son has his two favorite jerseys, his Rizzo and Arrieta jerseys, which he believes are the good luck charm. It's all he'll wear until the season is over. And so my wife is literally making sure that they're clean every other day so Junior can go to school with a shirt on. I mean, and he's not the only one. Everybody's doing it. It is amazing, and the experience is just absolutely phenomenal.
Well, are you going to be able to sneak into a World Series game?
Not a chance, my friend, and I'll tell you a brief story as to why. I had a friend who went to a party this past weekend, and a friend of his told him that he had just sold his ticket. This guy was lucky enough to have four premium seats for each game. Season ticket holder, four premiums. He had to sell all 12 because that was the only offer the buyer would take, is all 12 tickets or none. He said, okay, well then for 12 tickets, I want $120,000, and the guy wrote him a check on the spot.
Hey, I know that that's sacrilegious to some, but I get it, don't you? Would you have done it?
I get it, but no, because while somebody asked me that question and said, but isn't it a bucket list item? My response was, that's fine, but if I pay $120,000 for those World Series tickets, I don't have the money to afford a bucket anymore. So you might as well throw that one out the possibility window.
Give me a prediction. What happens?
You know, I like the Cubs, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as many people think. This Indians team, you know, Lindor has become an absolute star. Corey Kluber just won the Cy Young a couple of years ago. I like the pitching matchups that they have, especially with Lester tonight and then waiting until they're back home to bring Hendricks back. I think they win it, but I think it'll be in 6 or 7 games.
Rick Pizzo, lifelong Cubs fan. His friend just made a boatload for his Cubs premium tickets. Rick, we'll catch up again. Thanks for your insight and time as always.
My pleasure as always, Schmitty. Talk to you again soon, buddy.
You know, we love Rick Pizzo, and we love Rick Pizzo's stories and the fact that his buddy, lifelong Cub fan, four premium seats, four home games, and is $120,000. Four seats all together. The guy got a check for $120,000. Could you do it? Would you do it? I thought never in a million years. But $120,000. I mean, just walk with me for 2 seconds. I know it's been 108. But do you honestly think this team won't win one with Madden and the roster and what Theo's doing? They'll win one. But they're the Cubs. I know. You know who's cheering for Cleveland?
They're on the warpath. Do you hear the drums beat? Can hear them. You can hear them beating all the way from the Cuyahoga.
Yeah, that guy's cheering for Cleveland. A voice from beyond.
They're on the warpath. Do you hear the drums beat? Can hear them. You can hear them beating all the way from the Cuyahoga.
The Cuyahoga. Wow. All right. $120,000. Four seats. Games at Wrigley. Premium seating. Here's a check. I want to know where Pizzo and his buddies party. They won't let me in, but maybe I could watch. All right, Barry Alvarez, tremendous Husker, tremendous Badger, college football playoff member. He's next on Hail Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN.
or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back in Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's welcome in a member of the College Football Selection Committee, a College Football Hall of Famer, athletic director at Wisconsin, National Coach of the Year in 93 and 1998, and a standout linebacker for Coach Devaney at Nebraska, Barry Alvarez with us. Coach, did I miss anything?
You got it all.
All right, good. Well, hey, it's looking at this matchup with Nebraska and Wisconsin, Badgers look like they have it all, especially on the defensive side. Coach, tell me a little bit about your expectations heading into this season. When you look at the schedule that was ahead of Wisconsin, what were you thinking going into this season? And to this point right now, how pleased are you with the Badgers?
Well, I don't think there'd be many people in August that would give us a chance to be 6-2 or 5-2 at this point. Mm. If you take a look at this schedule, opening with LSU and then going through a gauntlet, you know, you start with Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Nebraska. You know, I think that anybody would be pleased if we told them right at this point we'd have two losses. But, you know, we thought we had a chance to be a decent team. We're very young. But then the guys who played well, we thought we'd be good defensively. And, you know, I'm very pleased. I couldn't be more pleased with how our guys have competed. And, you know, we've been in a lot of four-quarter games. And they've responded, and they've played well. The team likes one another, has good chemistry, and, you know, they've found ways to get things done.
Barry Alvarez with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. You're right. You look at the schedule, and the first reaction around Nebraska, Big Ten country, nationally was, wow. Now, as athletic director, you have some say in schedule, and you've been aggressive the last few years. I mean, not just LSU, but Bama not long ago. And do you think that helps your team as the season goes on, scheduling some of those big-time opponents early?
I think it helps when you win.
Yeah.
But, right. You know what, we felt, you know, philosophically, in talking with, you know, our football coaches, that's something that we wanted to do. I know when sitting on the committee, strength of schedule is important. You know, if you want to think and talk about being a big time program, why not play those people? I think people, you know, everyone realizes you have two strong teams playing early in the year. One of them has to lose, and then you watch. I don't think you lose that much if it's a very, you know, two difficult or two very good teams. Early in the year, I think if you continue to improve, it doesn't hurt you as much as the season wears on.
Coach, what are your thoughts on Nebraska? I mean, Nebraska back in a position that a lot of Nebraska fans kind of want in demand every year. You know Nebraska well. And your thoughts and kind of your read on Coach Riley and this year's Husker team?
Well, you know, I've always been impressed with Mike. I've always felt he's an excellent coach. You know, that first year, you know, the team's hearing a different voice, new philosophy coming in, new coaches, you know, and he was right. He was in a position to win a number of other games, ours included. And, you know, how they lost a handful of games last year is criminal. Mm. But, you know, it would just be time. I figured it would just be a matter of time before everyone bought in and understood what Mike and his staff want to do and that they'd be a good football team, and that's exactly what he's done. He's a good football coach. We knew they'd improve.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about Nebraska's trips to Madison, and they have not gone well for Nebraska. Russell Wilson back to open up Big Ten play, the Big Ten championship game, and of course 2 years ago with Melvin's big day. Your thoughts as to why Wisconsin has performed not just well enough to beat Nebraska, but they've been large margins. Can you explain it?
I can't. You know, the last time we played up here, we turned it over. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we were down 2 touchdowns.
17-3, yeah.
Yeah, in the first quarter. You know, we turned it over a few times, and our guys then responded very well. And you know, sometimes it's a matchup. Sometimes a player gets hot. Defense isn't prepared for certain things. You can't put your finger on it, but you know, in the championship game, there Melvin had a big game in that day also. Mm. But I can't explain it.
Coach, you have a couple of quarterbacks that have performed well. Alex Hornibrook is so young, but he has been poised. And then for a spark last week, Bart Houston came in. It sounds like both will see time against Nebraska. That is an issue when it comes to trying to prepare for either if you're an opposing defense. Tell me about handling a situation like that as an offensive coordinator, a head coach. Not necessarily the situation, but just kind of that gut feel when to put a guy in.
Well, I think Paul told the quarterbacks that he was going to put Bart in the first quarter, in a series in the first quarter. Wanted to get him involved in the game soon. You know, I think it's good. Bart's a fifth-year guy. He's invested a lot into the program. I'm sure Paul wants to keep him involved and keep him sharp. I think Hornibrook, as you've said, has shown a lot of poise and composure for a freshman, and I think he'll continue to get better and better. But I think what he's trying to do is have two quarterbacks that he can rely on, and if someone's having a difficult day, and that the other guy can have a shot to come in and make some things happen.
Couple more minutes. Barry Alvarez with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Let's flip it around to Nebraska's quarterback. And, Coach, what impresses you about Tommy Armstrong for Nebraska?
Well, I've always hated to defend a quarterback that can move the sticks when you do everything right. Mm-hmm. You can cover have everyone covered down the field, get good pressure, and he comes out of the pocket and runs for a first down. You know, mobile quarterbacks create problems. He can beat you with his feet. He can throw the ball. I think he must have great leadership, and he's been in that position a long time, so he understands it. And obviously, he's the key to their offense moving the football.
Let's flip it around to the Badger defense. Justin Wilcox and the linebacking core and your line, just tremendous. And what's the philosophy? Could you give me a definition? I know what the stats say. It means you can't run, and there's a lot of tackles for a loss. But is there a mindset or a mentality that you want with a Wisconsin defense, because they clearly have it?
Well, this is an aggressive group. You know, I think Justin's done an unbelievable job, and I think our secondary coach, one of our old players, Jimmy Leonard, who was an undersized player for us and went on and played 10 or 11 years in the league because he was so smart and understood the game so well and read things and pre-snap reads and anticipated things well, is doing a good job coaching our secondary. We've had it's a young group, but we've had a ton of injuries. We've gone through we've got two season ending with the linebackers, and we've had three others that have missed games, multiple games because of injuries. We lost our starting nose guard, a 340-pounder who helped keep people off those linebackers a week ago. Yet the others have stepped up and played, and they've played well. But he changes up. I think he shows you a lot of different looks and can pressure you from a lot of different ways. The secondary mixes up a press man with zone. And so they're multiple. And, you know, when he wants to heat you up, they can get some pressure on the quarterback.
Coach, you've been in the Big Ten a long time. How, and you said this a few years ago when you came on the show, you're going to have to win a road game with a second or a third team skill guy or offensive lineman, sometimes both. How has Wisconsin been in your career? How have you been so successful at not only having that depth but developing talented depth so the drop-off isn't huge?
Well, you know what? We lost our depth. We didn't. Paul did an outstanding job a year ago with no offensive line depth. We had allowed that the depth in the offensive line to be totally depleted. Mm-hmm. And actually, we're a year away. we're still very young in the offensive line, and we've been mixing and matching. Every week somebody seems to go down or you have a couple guys hurt. So I thought we'd be over this going into this season, but we're going through the same things, mixing and matching guys. We're still another year away from having the depth that we'd like. You know, I think the longer you get into your program, the more consistency you have in your program. You're down the line guys lift. They're strong kids. If you're like Nebraska and Wisconsin, you have a walk-on program, you might have a younger or a player that's a junior or senior who hasn't started but is strong enough to go in when there's an injury and he can hold up for you because he understands the game and he's mature. There are a number of ways, but I think the stability in the program really has a lot to do with it.
Coach, I'll get you out of here on this. College Football Selection Committee, a big part of it, your role, November 1st, the first ratings come out. Has this been a fun year to evaluate college football for you?
Well, every year is fun because it's fun for me because I sit there, you're watching, you know, I watch everything I can on college football. And from the first week on, people were talking about who's going to be in the Final Four. You know, it's actually funny for me. I've just read something today where at this point a year ago, just a few teams, there were only like one or two teams ranked in the top 8 or 10 that were in the Final Four.
Okay.
You know, so that which tells you we've got a lot of season left and a lot of upsets. A lot of things are going to happen between now and the end of the year, and the people that have their four teams picked already, it's not going to look anything like that if history tells us what's going to happen.
All right, World Series question, Cubs or Tribe?
I'll tell you what, I'm an old National League guy. I grew up with a Pirate fan, and I've agonized with the Cubs ever since I was at Nebraska and at Iowa, and so I'd really like to see the Cubbies win.
Well, we'll see if they can get that done for you. Coach Barry Alvarez with us. Coach, best of luck. We'll see you in Madtown. Thanks for the time.
Very good. Thank you.
There we go. The Godfather, Barry Alvarez. Appreciate his time, his thoughts, and just that Nebraska blueprint. And he did not have an answer as to why the margin has been so large when it comes to Nebraska and Wisconsin. One of his guys, former Packer, former Badger, part of the Badger Network, Mark Tauscher, up next to talk Huskers and Badgers.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, World Series coverage following us on many of our Hail Varsity Radio affiliates. We welcome in a 10-year Green Bay Packer. They stand out for the Wisconsin Badgers. And Walter Payton, Man of the Year, and a Super Bowl champ, Mark Tauscher, part of the Badger Radio Network, and does a show on ESPN 540 out of Milwaukee. Mark, thanks for a few minutes today. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing all right. Excited for this matchup, and it's been a while since Nebraska's had this opportunity. It's not a new opportunity against Wisconsin under the lights in a showdown, and a lot of Nebraska fans remember the Russell Wilson ball game. Welcome to the Big Ten. And Nebraska's been trying to kind of find their footing and get to that elite level since joining the Big Ten. Wisconsin's just kept on trucking. Doesn't matter about coaching changes. And Mark, with your experience and what you know about the Badger program, what do you see with this matchup here? What are some advantages Wisconsin's got? What are your impressions of Nebraska? And then maybe them... Maybe their ability to pull the upset on Saturday night in Camp Randall.
I think from Nebraska's standpoint, I think they've kind of done what they're supposed to do. I don't, you know, from the beginning of this season to now, obviously they have found a way to win every game, which I think, you know, going into it, that's obviously what you want to do. Wisconsin, you know, tough schedule. Mm-hmm. We, you know, started off winning up at Lambeau against an SEC team that a lot of people had, you know, ranked very highly, and then the kind of the gauntlet, Nebraska's kind of the end of this gauntlet from Wisconsin's standpoint, and to play at home I think is a huge advantage. Obviously, losing Cicci is a huge loss. We got Beagle back, but Cicci is a guy that I think has been just a dynamite player, and this defense regardless if it's Fournette or, you know, you talk about JT Barrett, they've been up to the task all season. And I think that's been what the foundation of this Badger football team has been. It's not your typical, you know, pound the ball down your throat offense. I know last week there was a, you know, Corey Clement did a really nice job running the football. That has not been what this offense has been for the most part this season. And they're starting to find their rhythm running the football. They struggled early. And with both quarterbacks coming in, you know, it's, the offense is still trying to kind of get, find its identity. I think they're leaning towards running the football. They got a couple of offensive linemen back that they feel really good about in order to help run the football. But make no mistake about it, this team is built on its defense, and it has been really good this season.
Part of the Badger Radio Network and standout Green Bay Packer and Badger Mark Tauscher with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. That's if the offense hasn't peaked yet, but it's been good enough against some major opponents, that can be scary. What's it? You tell me, what's it take to play and thrive on an offensive line at Wisconsin?
Well, I think obviously being strong, being big and strong always helps. But what I think has made Wisconsin offensive linemen good is that we've had continuity. And you have a system that you get to work through for 4 or 5 years, and it's you're going to run zone plays and you're going to run power plays, and you know that has always been kind of the bedrock of how this running game is. And if you've watched a lot of Wisconsin this year, you know they pull the guard, they down block, and it's you know it's power football when it's going well. When you know teams have had success stopping the run, especially early in the season, and I think a lot of that has to do with the offensive line. Not you know there's been a lot of shuffling. There's been guys of you know, there hasn't been a steady lineup. Had to move a lot of people around. So I think they're finding that out. But, you know, what I think offensive linemen love about it is you know you're going to get opportunities to run the football. This isn't ever going to be a place where you're going to spread people out with 4 and 5 wides and do a bunch of pass blocking. You're going to see tight ends. You're going to see fullback. You're going to see this team going to try to physically impose themselves on what you're doing on defense. And they're going to see if you can hold up. They realize you're going to have some stops, but physically, Wisconsin is built on we're going to out-physical you, and when Wisconsin teams have been really good, been able to do that more consistently than not.
Mark, let's talk a little bit here about a couple of keys here. Your thoughts, a key or two for Nebraska, if they want to pull the upset, a key or two for Wisconsin to keep running this gauntlet they've been through.
I think the big thing is, from Wisconsin's standpoint, is limit the big plays. I know Nebraska, that's going to be you know, focus from Nebraska's standpoint is make big plays. And, you know, from Wisconsin's offense standpoint, I really think it's going to come down to can you run the ball effectively? You saw a little bit last week they brought Bart Houston in. He threw a touchdown pass. You feel really good about Hornibrook. Can you protect him? Can Nebraska get a pass rush and kind of get in the face? Because the pass protection has not been great all season. There's been some spots that teams have been able to expose, especially Ohio State, really, with their pass rush, made some things happen. So can Nebraska hold up stopping the run, which is always kind of your main focus when you're playing a Wisconsin football team? And you know, can they make enough big plays in the passing game to do some stuff against this defense? Because the pass rush and this run defense from Wisconsin, like I said earlier, has just been really consistent and really good all season.
About 2.5 minutes here, Mark. Any concern about Wisconsin having enough gas in the tank?
Yeah, I definitely think so. When you like I said, when you go through this gauntlet and you've played Iowa, you played Michigan, played Michigan State, Ohio State, you have a home game. It's Halloween. This team has had a lot of injuries, and I think there's a natural. Luckily, there was a bye week mixed in there to kind of regroup a little bit. But yeah, I think that has to be a concern, and that I think for all coaches, they try to find ways to make sure their guys are fresh going into a big game. But the great part about this is you have the night environment, which at Camp Randall is always great. I know when Nebraska first came, I think their first Big Ten game was at Wisconsin, mm-hmm. and the Nebraska faithful came out in full force. Great atmosphere. I think both fan bases really, I think from a Big Ten standpoint, we've loved having Nebraska come in because it's just that program really seemed to fit what the Big Ten is all about. And the fans have been, when we went out to Nebraska, you know, great fans. So I think that the atmosphere is going to actually help with anything that may be sort of a letdown. But I just think you only get so many of these opportunities as a player. And Coach Paul Christ has done a great job of making sure the guys recognize that You know, that you don't have that many opportunities, especially to play at home, and then especially to play a night game against a big-time opponent that's undefeated, that's ranked in the top 10. So I don't think that's going to be a case, but injuries and everything else, at some point we'll catch up with you, and you just hope that it's not this week from a Wisconsin standpoint.
About 60 seconds. Is Nebraska a rival?
I think when you're looking at from the West part of it, I think obviously Wisconsin, we always look at Minnesota because of the long history, and you have the Axe, Iowa, but I think Nebraska, that's part of what I think is so good. Nebraska, from a national standpoint, has always been a power, and now they're in the Big Ten, and you look at, you talk to fans in Wisconsin and in the Big Ten West, we would always say Nebraska because they've come in and the program has had a really good record over the years, and now they're in the Big Ten. I definitely think it's in the process of building, and you have to have really good football games, and you can remember Melvin Gordon when he had the big day against Nebraska. So it's definitely a rivalry. I think we look at Nebraska as a team we always are going to have to get over the hump, especially this time of the year in the football in the Big Ten West. It's always going to be a team you know you have to beat in order to get to the Big Ten championship.
Mark Tauscher, standout Badger and 10-year NFL vet with Green Bay, Super Bowl champ. And you can catch him on Milwaukee's ESPN 540. Mark, we'll do this again, man. Thanks for a few minutes, and always appreciate your time.
You bet. Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care. Mark Tauscher with us on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. There you go. Limit the big plays if you're the Wisconsin D. Stop the run. Hold up against the run if you're the Nebraska defense. So good stuff from Mark Tauscher, part of the Badger Network. Appreciate him. We'll get him on again, talk some NFL. We'll wind down a Tuesday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks to Mark Tauscher, name you know, from the NFL and from his days at Wisconsin. Barry Alvarez this hour, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Kevin Suits. Mitch Sherman got us kicked off as it's World Series time and it's prediction time. Cubs or Tribe? And the thing that's really the bottom line facts about this, what do you think of Cub fans and Tribe fans, is the emotional attachment you have with being a fan, and whether it's on social media or people you bump into or friends you have, it is Cub fan who have a loved one that introduced them to the Cubs. Whether it's grandma and grandpa, whether it's aunt or uncle, whether it's mom or dad were too cheap to have a babysitter, so they turned WGN on and that's what you had afterwards, after school. That's it. That's why there are millions of Cub fans, because it's been paid forward. And it's kind of like being a Nebraska football fan. You grew up doing it or watching it or attending it with your family. That's the storyline. It's Chris Fowler talking about his grandmother. And she'd have her transistor radio on and they'd listen. And if the Cubs did lose, it'd be all good. I was 12 years old, man. And I waited till he finished, but I was in the bathroom of Harry Carey's. Guess who I ran into? Hello, everybody. Harry Carey. A little awkward to ask a dude for his autograph at the stall, so I waited. He was cool. He was a great dude. I asked him for a second one, and he said, one at a time, sonny. He's trying to get my little brother an autograph. All of that said, and the Cubs are 2-1 favorites, I think Tito and Cleveland get this thing handled. I think Cleveland, and you have their bullpen. They are amazing at base running. I think Cleveland just pops the bubble. And I'm going to go with 7 decades of heartbreak versus 11. I think the Cubs get a World Series in the next couple of years. I don't think it happens this year.
Around.
I think Cleveland in... And you know, it's not going to just be simple like ripping the Band-Aid off. No, this will be multiple surgeries. This will be a Game 7. And I think Andrew Lee's just been just incredible. I think the Tito factor's extremely important. And the Cubs, you have the right-handed pitching against seven left-handed bats. I just think the moment will engulf the Cubs. I said Lee, I meant Miller. Thinking Cliff Lee. Sorry, Cub got in my mind. Andrew Miller is going to be the difference. He'll stay hot. That's obvious, but I believe it. Give me the Tribe. Give me the Tribe in six.
I'm with you. Tribe in seven.
Okay.
Cubs are the better team, but I think it's Cleveland's year.
Tito, we'll have him ready. So, Cub fans, you are welcome. Kiss of death delivered by Hail Varsity Radio. When Brandon Vogel sees me next, he will punch me in the chest for this pick. Talk to you tomorrow at 4:00.